7 o'clock, Rise and Shine Pile. Good morning. How you doing? Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. NFL schedule comes out tonight. We'll talk more about that. We have a question that pertains to that coming up in a few minutes. Also, very busy prep Tuesday yesterday. We had Southwestern League openers for Junction, Central, for Fruit of Monument, Montrose. Delta opened their season yesterday. A lot of lacrosse action, a lot of stuff going on. Girls golf, you name it, tennis.
There's a lot, yeah.
There's a ton of stuff going on yesterday. And you also had the Rockies and the Padres.
Playing golf, and you're going to like it.
Yeah, they did, because it was a beautiful day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot going on. Rockies faced the Padres last night.
We don't have to talk about that, though.
Yeah, well. Antonio Sensatella was good for a while.
Then
the wheels kind of came off the wagon, but...
He definitely had a blowout there.
Yeah, I mean, it was good for a while.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you're right. Manny Machado with a homer and a triple last night. Padres win 8-1. Nuggets secure a first-round home playoff series. Now the question is, 3 games left in the season, the regular season.
Who are they going to get?
Well, how much do you rest them right now? How much do you rest guys? Because they're not going to finish worse than fourth. That's right. A guarantee. But how much do you rest, guys? Because Michael Porter Jr., when that question was brought up, he's like, I don't want to sit down for the next 3 games.
Well, you can't just sit them down. I mean, you can minute restriction, right?
But he doesn't even want that. He's like, I just want us to play like we normally do. I don't want to be on any kind of minute restriction or load management situation where he just sits out a game or two.
But here's the deal. Do you want the Blazers or do you want the Mavericks? I want the Mavericks.
Probably so. Yeah.
Nuggets
have had a better history, better success with the Mavericks.
Yeah. Because those two guys in Portland, McCollum, Lillard, they just... 7 games? I don't know. I don't know how you can keep them down for 2 weeks, essentially.
Yeah, I'd feel better even though Doncic is great.
But you can get under his skin and make him miss a game, too.
Exactly.
With all the technicals, too. So, you know, I would like to have Dallas.
I think if you're the Nuggets, you want Dallas.
Yeah. Portland, Dallas, they're even right now at 40-29. Nuggets are a game back of the Clippers for the third spot.
Right.
So, I would like Dallas more than Portland. And if it comes to it to where, you know, you maybe have to go out a little bit, you know, pedal to the metal the last couple games as opposed to coasting, I'd much rather have them firing on all cylinders, to use another automobile pun reference there, than not.
But then you're going to have those, well, what if somebody gets hurt and it was...
lost their second best player, so...
You're right, they've already been there, done that.
All of their starting guards have been hurt at some point this season.
But with somebody else, like Porter Jr., or, you know, God forbid, Nikola Jokic gets hurt. I mean, you're going to hear that.
I know.
You're going to hear that side of the story as well. And so, yeah, I just think that if you're Denver, you can't... You're going to have to... I agree with what you're saying. You're going to... minute restrictions, mm-hmm. You're going to have to do some of that. Because there is going to be that concern of, wow, they've weathered the storm with all the injuries,
right?
Obviously losing Jamal Murray for the rest of the season.
But they've been grinding for about a month.
Monte Morris, obviously, has been hurt, and that's been a problem for their bench. I mean, PJ Dozier. I mean, they've had injury issues. And so now that you're not going to finish worse than fourth, but I'm with you on that. It's like, is it worth trying to fight with these last 3 games to stay away from playing Portland?
Right.
You have to fight. If you're Michael Malone, that's a tightrope to walk, because you want to limit minutes and give guys the rest and prevent injury and things like that. But Yeah, you really liked it. I mean, I guess the thought is, well, you might end up playing Portland sometime anyway in the postseason, so get them out of the way first, right? But I'm with you on that. I think I'd rather start out.
I think Dallas is a better matchup for the Nuggets.
Yeah, particularly in the first round. They'll be at home, and we'll see, though. But if you got some thoughts on that today, also, there's the schedule release tonight for the NFL. They've tried to turn this into a very, very, very big thing
big
over
deal,
the years.
Yeah.
And so our question today, our Qdoba question of the day today, which game this season, we'll find out tonight who they play when and all those kind of things, primetime games, stuff like that. But which game is the one that intrigues you the most? I mean, obviously, Broncos, Chiefs, I mean, that's always going to be intriguing. But is there another game outside of that? Because the Broncos will have the NFC East or the NFC Least. I mean, does the Washington football team get your juices flowing, or Dak Prescott and the Cowboys facing, we'll go back to the AFC, mm-hmm. facing Trevor Lawrence and your former quarterback, Timmy Tebow.
Yeah.
And the Jags.
Blocking Von Miller.
Which one provides the most intrigue this season? And there's some speculation that the Broncos might be opening up week one at the Giants. But that's the big rumor right now, where Denver will begin the season against the Giants. So
keep,
we'll see.
Keep Ed McCaffrey away from that game.
he'll be busy coaching Northern Colorado.
Because that was the season opener Monday night. Broke his leg.
Yes.
September 10, 2001. That's the only reason I remember that.
Right. Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
The day before. Day that will always live in infamy.
Yep.
But if you got some thoughts on that today, which one are you the most excited about?
Are we going out of the
season?
Division?
Yeah, that's just because AFC.
Want to see the Raiders at Mile High?
Of course.
No,
okay.
Come on now. You get that every year.
Out of division game. Which one would it be for you? Because obviously, like I said, it's a kind of a given. It's the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Raiders that, yes, you want to see the Broncos play those games. But the out-of-division game, the one that has the most intrigue for me, it's a matchup of my team against your team, Cleveland Browns. And not because this is some, the past would have been, okay, no offense here. In the past, mm-hmm. we know what the past was.
Right.
Browns weren't a very good football team. But the Browns have had the Broncos number a little bit the last couple of times they played.
Actually, the Broncos have won those games.
I thought they lost.
No, they won because I was at the one.
Okay.
And it was like, okay, we're on the upswing. The Broncos are coming down.
Okay,
we should have this game.
I thought the
no, because that was the Noah Fant touchdown.
I thought they had won one of the last two times they played.
They might have. The last one was 2019, and I'll do the Chris Berman. I know, because I was there. And that was Noah Fant's long touchdown catch.
That's true.
That was the who was the Brandon Allen game with the Broncos.
Right.
So, yeah, we're like, Brandon Allen, Broncos aren't very good, Browns
okay,
should be
20,
better.
2019. Ugh. 2019 is 24-19.
Yep. It was close.
But before that, it was... You won by a point.
Oh, did we? Nice.
Yeah, 17-16.
Who knew?
Then apparently the Broncos won 26-23, mm-hmm. was the overtime game in 2015.
Yeah.
And then after, the Broncos 34-12. But of the last two, they've split.
Yeah.
Was where
They're
I was
close.
Kind of where I was going with that.
Right.
Where they've been, and they've been close games. 24-19, pretty close football game, obviously. 1 point win mm-hmm. for the Browns.
I still don't have the we should win these games mindset. I have the we're gonna lose these games, right? Because we're the Browns.
Because that's just what the Browns have done in the past.
That's in our nature.
But your nature is changing, though.
That's true.
At least it appears to be changing.
I mean, they've come right out and said they want no part of the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. I'm like, why? I get it. You got to have your Baker's back and everything. I understand, but
I think here's the deal, though. okay, and this may be just what they're publicly saying. Behind the scenes may be a different story. I tend to think that, you know, they picked up Baker's option, right? And so he got them to the playoffs. He's still a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're and a guy that, from a temperament standpoint, it seems like he's getting more mentally tough as he's gone, you know, deeper into his NFL career. But I think they're just saying, look, we know what we have here. We don't know if we're going to get Aaron Rodgers.
True.
Is it worth upsetting our current quarterback who we just picked up his fifth-year option? Is it worth doing that where he gets riled up and, well, if you don't want me here, I'm going to go, so fine.
Exactly.
Then trade me someplace else. If you don't want me here.
He is as thin-skinned as Aaron Rodgers is.
So is that worth that risk?
No, it's not.
You know, and if privately something comes together, then okay. Then they then go, hey, look, well, you know, things changed.
But the thing is, it's like what you hear about Packers fans and that community about the, you know, hard work, blue collar, punch the clock, lunch pail type. Aaron Rodgers doesn't comport to that type of lifestyle, I guess. Whereas it feels like Baker Mayfield does a little bit more. That town loves him, Baker Mayfield.
Well, the progressive commercials where he lives at the stadium.
Yeah,
I mean, that adds to the whole mystique of it. Look, he loves it so much, he stays at the stadium all the time.
He even films his commercials at the stadium, which is great.
So
the town loves him. Yeah. I'm not sure how they would embrace Aaron Rodgers. I mean, if he won a Super Bowl, he's a god. He does not have to pay for anything the rest of his life.
You'd be quick to warm to him, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Me as well. It's, you know, not that, and I've never had this hatred of Rodgers.
He's already got Super Bowls, though.
I want more. So what? I want more. You worry about getting yours, your first one, getting there for the first time.
It would be a touch
of shade thrown in your direction.
It would be a different adulation in Cleveland than it would be in Denver, I think.
But okay, fine.
Be a little bit of a four in Denver. In Cleveland, he would be a god.
You think people just go, okay, we got Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You don't think people will just lose their minds?
Well, if he wins the Super Bowl, that's...
Well,
that's
getting him would be...
Would be giddy,
gigantic. Yeah. It would be like when they signed
Peyton
Manning.
There would be people pooping their shorts
and
all over.
Count me in that group.
Broncos country.
Count me in that group. Pass me the Charmin. Thank you. Give me a fresh diaper. What? Don't have what? Okay. What is this? Oh, it's going to mean more to us than it is to you. Well, you don't think Broncos fans wouldn't lose their minds if Aaron Rodgers comes to Denver? They'd be like, oh, okay, that's nice.
Which meant more, Peyton's or John Elway's first one?
John's.
Okay.
John still means more.
That's what I mean.
But John was a guy they drafted, you know, had you know, been in Super Bowls, lost Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Denver got slobber knocked, you know, and in the previous three that he had played in. And so, it meant more because of everything that the team had gone through, fans had gone through, leading up to Super Bowl 32.
And that's why I say if Aaron Rodgers were to win one in Cleveland, it'd be a greater adulation amongst the fan base.
I was trying to discern whether it was winning a Super Bowl or just getting him.
Oh, no, winning the Super Bowl. If we got him and he didn't win anything, then welcome to everybody else that's played for the Browns.
Okay, because I misunderstood where your entire case. So
getting him is different.
It's got to win. You've got to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. If he wins the Super Bowl in Cleveland, he's a god.
In fairness, because it'd be your first, it would probably be.
Mm-hmm. Getting him is about the same.
Not that Denver wouldn't be going, holy crap, we did it again.
Mm-hmm.
We got number four. But you're right, be your first, and I'll be respectful of that. I wasn't sure if you were talking about just getting him or winning a Super Bowl. I misunderstood you.
The day after Super Bowl Sunday with Aaron Rodgers is different in Denver than it would be in Cleveland. Cleveland, you shut the city down. Nothing is happening. No kids are going to school. Government offices shut down. They can light the river on fire. No one's putting it out because everybody's at the parade, like LeBron. Denver, it's kind of, you know, business as usual a little bit.
It'd still be
a million or so people there, but the city's still running.
It'd still be a pretty big deal. Yeah, I mean,
light rail still got drivers. There's still cabs going around. The city stops in Cleveland.
Okay, I get it. It would mean more. But don't act like Broncos fans would be like, oh, another Super Bowl.
Four. Well, got to go to bed. Got to be to work at
eight. We're not Patriots fans. Come on.
Not yet. You get to 4, 5, 6. You're getting there. Oh, that just made people mad, didn't it?
Do you get that vibe from Steeler fans? I don't get it quite as much as I do from Patriot fans.
I don't get the vibe. I don't like Steeler fans in general because they're
well,
so
division
obnoxious.
Rival. It's
yeah. But they're at 6, and it feels like they're miles behind the Patriots 6.
Right.
When it comes to
like they've won,
just obnoxiousness.
Like they've won 2.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of that feeling from them.
Because they haven't been to one in a while. And so you get, we got 6. Yeah, that was 15 years ago, though.
We've been sitting on 6 for a while
Patriots
now.
Patriots have won 4 since then. So, you know.
Yeah, I get you there. All right, so your thoughts on that today. The game out of division that you're looking the most forward to for the Broncos in 2021, whether it's Rodgers or not, quarterbacking Denver, Dexter Collis, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, serving your breakfast until 10:30 this morning at the Rimrock location. All right, we have a lot to get to in the program today. We have Altitude Day, voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. He'll have the call tonight. Avs continue their pursuit of the President's Trophy. So we'll talk with him about that. Also, Chris Dempsey from Altitude covers the Nuggets. Talk about the Nuggets' win last night over Charlotte. And how does Denver manage the remaining games in the regular season? What's the approach, in his opinion? We'll talk with him about that. Also, we will have the head coach of Miami-Dade. They're into the Junior College World Series for the first time since 2014. Adrian Morales at 9 o'clock this morning. And I'm going to try to track down Winnie McCaskill, Palisade volleyball coach, because they open up the state tournament today at the Broadmoor World Arena in Colorado Springs, Palmer Ridge, 2 o'clock today. We'll try to track her down for a few minutes this morning to join us to talk about that matchup today. First time since 95, Palisade has been... It will go to play in the state volleyball tournament. All right, 7:17 time for...
What's happening?
All right, lead things off with the Nuggets secured a first-round home playoff series after winning at Charlotte 117-112 on Tuesday. Nikola Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. each scored 30 points as Denver can finish no worse than fourth in the Western Conference. The Avalanche host the LA Kings tonight, and they need wins tonight and tomorrow night over the Kings to secure home ice advantage in the playoffs and to hoist the President's Trophy. Pregame starts at 6:30 tonight on the Team Sports Network. San Diego's Manny Machado hit a home run and a triple to lead the Padres to an 8-1 win of the Rockies at Coors Field Tuesday night. Colorado faces San Diego in a doubleheader today. The Team Sports Network will have Game 1 with pregame at 12:30. Shelton State, Alabama, and Wallace Dothan, Alabama, will play for a spot today to qualify for the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Shelton State beat Wallace Dothan 13-3 to force a winner-take-all game at noon Mountain Time today. They got weathered out yesterday, so that's why they're playing today. The winner will capture the South District title. Miami-Dade is the first team into this year's field. You can catch the JUCO World Series on the Team Sports Network Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget, get your tickets now, online only, at JUCOGJ.org. You can have the day pass option. You can get the tournament pass, but get your tickets now. Once again, you have to go to JUCOGJ.org to get your tickets. Central and Fruita Monument both picked up wins in their Southwestern League baseball openers on Tuesday. Warriors pitcher Luke Brown tossed a one-hitter through 6 1/3 to shut out Grand Junction 8-0 Tuesday night at Saplesio. Cooper Ross and Alex Taylor each had two-run hits for Central as the Warriors moved to 2-2 overall, 1-0 in the SWL. The Tigers dropped to 2-3. They're 0-1 in league. Fruita Monument pitcher Jacob Weaver had 10 strikeouts and threw a complete game. In the Wildcats 6-0 win over Montrose at Canyonview, Tucker Bunninger had 3 hits, and Jack Deere drove in 2 runs for Fruita. The Wildcats moved to 3-2 overall, 1-0 in league. The Indians slipped to 3-1, and they are 0-1 in league play. Palisades swept their doubleheader with Eagle Valley. Bulldogs Cooper and Ankervicius threw a 5-inning perfect game in Palisades' 15-0 win over the Devils. Colin Rice belted a three-run home run in Palisades 23-4. Game 2-1 as the Bulldogs improved to 4-1 overall. They're 4-0 in the WSL. Delta opened the season at Durango. They lost to the Demons 13-0. Cedar Ridge defeated Grand Valley 17-1. Grand Junction's Laney Lafler scored two goals to lead the Tigers to a 2-1 win at Montrose in SWL girls soccer. The win moves Grand Junction to 1-1 as the Indians dropped to 0-1 in League Central, won at Delta in soccer 4-1 in girls tennis. Grand Junction beat Frutamont at 4-3 with the Tigers. Emma Aubert winning at number one singles and Emma Thompson at number two singles. Grand Junction is 6-1 overall. They're 4-1 in league play with the Wildcats 5-1 and now 4-1 in the SWL. The Durango girls golf team won the team title at the Wildcat Invitational in Adobe Creek Tuesday. Gunnison was second with the host Wildcats third. Montrose took fourth with Palisade fifth and Grand Junction eighth. Eagle Valley's Kylie Hughes was the medalist winner of the two over par 74. Fruita's Kenda Abbott shot a 93 as the top local finisher. The Fruita Monument girls lacrosse team opened the season with an 8-4 win over Durango Tuesday at the Fruita 8-9 school. Freshman Kendall Rahm and Aaliyah Danner scored two goals each for the Wildcats. Grand Junction boys lacrosse team got three goals from Chase Vanderhoofen and Parker Stanfield to lead the Tigers to an 11-5 win over Durango. Grand Junction's now 1-1. The Mountain League Fruita Monument beat Montrose 16-5 with the Wildcats' Tony Farber scoring six goals in that game. And some sad news, former Hawaii quarterback, record-setting quarterback Colt Brennan, dead at the age of 37. We'll talk more about that in four-down territory. Also, the Preakness, they're going to allow Medina Spirit to run Bob Baffert's horse, of course, that failed the drug test the other day. But Baffert has agreed to additional testing for Medina Spirit at the Preakness.
The horse, of course.
Of course. And that's
what's happening.
All right, 721, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Text or call us today. The out-of-game division you're looking the most forward to with the Broncos schedule. The official schedules come out tonight from the NFL, so send that our way today. Once again, out of division. We know you're looking forward to seeing them take on the Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, but out of division, I'm liking the game with the Browns, to be quite honest. I think that's going to be a fantastic matchup against a playoff team, a team that's considered to have one of the best rosters in the NFL right now.
Hopefully we get that in Cleveland. Hope one way. If it's in Denver, it's not going to make me very sad because it's a heck of a lot easier to get to.
Very true.
Through the Browns, though, we got the Chiefs on the schedule. We almost got them last year in the playoffs without that stupid rule of fumbling into the end zone. I'm interested. I'm intrigued as to just how much better is their offensive line.
See, and I think for you, that would be
That
would be maybe the out-of-division most intriguing game because of what happened in the playoffs and chance to test your roster again against in the regular season against a team that will once again be considered one of the front runners for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you limit Patrick Mahomes' mobility, and he gets a little bit more pedestrian.
But they've also done a lot to improve that situation,
I know, but we hurt his ankle. We got it. We took 1 foot away from it.
Well, that's why they went and got Orlando Brown. Yeah. That's why they went out and did what they did to try to limit the chance of that happening.
17-11 because the fix was in.
Okay. Settle down.
It's a stupid rule.
Okay. I'm moving on here.
Okay.
You done?
Yeah, I'm good.
You done? Okay.
Yep.
7:23. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 727. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. NFL schedule comes out tonight. Which game, out of division game, are you looking forward to for the Broncos in 2021? There's some rumors out there that the Broncos will open the season in New Jersey against the Giants. So if you've got some thoughts on that today, text or call us. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340.
I've essentially seen, the NFL just straight up tweeted out a week one slate already, and it is Broncos at Giants on Fox late kickoff 225. Ooh, you know what else is at 225 week one? Browns at Chiefs.
There you go.
Getting it started. I'll have to go somewhere and watch that game.
I thought they were going to wait to release all this tonight.
Week one got released this morning.
Okay.
The rest will be released tonight. So apparently they couldn't even stand the drama themselves and were like, yeah,
I know, I get it. But I thought that was the whole big thing. They were going to wait and release all of it tonight.
I thought so too. But also, it's the, we know who they're playing. This right. is just the order.
It's just where they're playing. And
this isn't like the March Madness release right. selection.
But still,
show.
Though.
I'm with you.
Don't you want to maximize the buildup? I mean, see, what would be better, to be honest, is they just waited to release the schedule in total. You don't know until today who they're playing. I don't know why don't they do that?
The problem with the NFL is they work the intra-conference and intra-division games. It's on a rotation.
Right.
So you know that if you played the North last year, you have the South. So you know who they're going to play.
You pretty much know, but still.
Like, you know the formula of who you're going to play.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is why...
I'm with you.
Why not just blow that up and just say every year we're going to... And I get it, you want... There's certain rotation, I get it, but there's part of me, it's like, why don't you just kind of try to find a way to create more suspense about the schedule.
Right.
This is kind of a manufactured, hey, we're releasing the schedule. Well, we already know who they're playing.
Because it does... This show tonight doesn't do anything for me because I know who the Browns are playing this year. I know who the Broncos are playing this year. And
it's just if you're getting primetime game.
Right.
And for the, you know, out of division games, is that going to be home away? What's the deal?
Exactly. And then other than that, it's
all about, yeah.
Hey, how about that? That's
good
neat.
For you. Good for
because
you.
Because the games don't start for 4 more months. So I have from tonight till Labor Day to figure out the order on my own.
Right.
So that's why this, especially knowing all the opponents, it's like, schedule release. You excited? I'm like, okay. I can be.
Sure.
It's who you starting with and your primetime games. Like you said, that's about it.
And like, and I get like for college football, you have non-conference games pretty much laid out with agreements with everybody years and years in advance. But I don't know, they could create a little more drama. They could find a way of doing it that allows that be, hey, I didn't think we're going to be playing blah, blah, blah out of division.
Do you want your week one primetime games?
Sure.
Bucks opening Thursday night football. Who do you think they're playing?
Oh, boy. There was some speculation. Cowboys. It's going to be the Cowboys?
Ding, 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 okay. ding, ding, ding.
Because I think that's what we said the other day. It was going to be Cowboys or Bills. And I thought it would be the Cowboys.
Bills get the Steelers at home on Sunday afternoon, a yawner at 11 a.m. That's kind of unfortunate for the Bills, but that's okay. Sunday night football is a matchup of Justin's, maybe. Bears at Rams.
Oh.
That one's going to be interesting. And then Monday night football, single header, no double header, thank goodness. Ravens at Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's a little...
Okay. Okay.
That one's... I'm going to get plenty of sleep Monday night.
I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Check in about, mid-second quarter, and then go to bed.
And it's... Yeah, just call it a night. We're going to
have some Pennant Chase baseball that night. We're going to be keeping an eye on it.
That's right. More pressing issues.
Yeah. For some teams. Yeah, teams in baseball are going to be fighting for a title.
And...
My team, the Indians, is probably...
And the Rockies, yeah, but probably not. Yeah. Not going to be thinking about that. All right, 7:31. And last night, the Nuggets, they secured a first-round home playoff series. They win at Charlotte, 117-112. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. each scored 30 points as Denver can finish now no worse than fourth in the Western Conference. And now the debate becomes what we were talking about earlier. How much do you play, guys?
Right.
Here down the stretch, what do you do? 3 games left in the regular season. Nikola Jokic has not missed a game. After the game, he said, look, my goal is to play every game. I don't plan on sitting down these final 3 games. We'll see where that goes. Michael Porter Jr. had similar comments that plans on playing the final 3 games. And Michael Malone said he intended to sit guys, if not outright sit them, then likely decrease their minutes substantially. And for, Nikola Jokic, there's the, takes, according to the post, you take into account their 6-year history, which has seen the Nuggets become the only team in the Western Conference to secure home court advantage in the first round for 3 years running. So quite an accomplishment for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
In being able to do that.
It's pretty good consistency for sure.
Michael Porter Jr. said, look, I want to keep my rhythm, particularly his shooting rhythm, his three-point shooting, 45% so far, best on the team. And then 6 of 10 three-point, so, you know, Porter got 16 trays in the last three games. So Michael Porter Jr. saying, look, I don't want to get out of rhythm. And so this will become a major debate going forward. How much do these guys sit down? How much do they not play?
Right. And the question for me, for MPJ, is does he need 35 minutes a night to keep his rhythm? Or can he keep his rhythm in 20 minutes a night?
And that's a good question. I'm sure that's something that Michael Malone will be talking with Michael Porter Jr. about what, how much time do you need on the floor? What do we need to do? Do we just go ahead and just play your normal minutes and we don't worry about it? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? And this is where having, you know, communication and the hopefully the maturity of Michael Porter Jr. to make the right decision.
Right.
Say, you know what, maybe if you cut me down to 25 minutes, I'll be okay. And we'll see what happens. But last night, Nuggets getting that win. Charlotte, they're battling to try to avoid the play-in situation for them. Facu Campazzo, who's played really well as of late for the Nuggets, hits the big three-pointer with a minute 30 left to help the Nuggets get the win at Charlotte last night. Got some post Malone for you from Coach Michael Malone after the game. It was funny, one of the reporters apparently had a problem getting on the Zoom pregame call.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
But I can only imagine.
What Malone said to him? I would have loved to have played it, but I would have had to bleep it out, and I didn't have time for that.
Is it Mike Singer? Did Grandpa Mike not able to get the first question in?
And the comment from Malone was basically, because Mike Singer was kind of like, well, I had a bad connection. I was in an Uber, and I couldn't get a good connection, and blah, blah, blah. And Malone's like, hey, we're an OBS team here.
Yeah.
Okay? Come on. Get with the program.
Where's he in an Uber? He's not with the team. Where's he in? Why is he in an Uber?
He was at Uber. That's what he said. He was at an Uber. All right, here's a little post Malone, Michael Malone, after the Nuggets win over the Hornets last night.
Yeah, I felt there was a sense of urgency, you know, after losing at Utah, losing at home to Brooklyn. Granted, those are two really good teams, but we wanted to find a way to not only clinch, but get back to feeling good about how we're playing. And that was my challenge pregame and also at halftime. We got off to a great start tonight, and I thought that first half, end of the first was an 8-0 run for Charlotte. Then they opened the second on 9-4 run, so 17-4, and I didn't think our bench unit played well enough. And the challenge was, we can't pick our spots. I don't have a magic wand for game one where we're just going to play better. I mean, we got to start, you know, bringing it ourselves, and it was great to see us. You know, that team battle, they're fighting for playing position to stay out of that 9-10 game. So we knew we'd get a great fight, but you know, we made enough plays down the stretch to pull out the win and to secure home court advantage in the first round.
All right, so there's Michael Malone.
Did he at least
have
the stall door closed in that post game? It sounded like he was in the can.
Didn't look like he was, but it sure sounded like it. So here's the final three games for the Nuggets. They play at the Timberwolves tomorrow night. They play at the Pistons on Friday, wrap it up Sunday at Portland. And right now, as far as the standings go, the Nuggets are a game back of the Clippers for third.
And there's a three-way schmoz, a game separating 5, 6, 7.
Right. As of right now, Mavericks and Blazers are tied for the fifth spot.
And a game up both on the Lakers.
Correct.
That Sunday night game against the Blazers is going to be interesting. Because if you're the Nuggets, if you win that game, you maybe knock them down to where you take on a different team. Or maybe if you beat them, you knock them down to where you have to play them in the opening round. What do you do if you're Michael Malone?
It's a tough call right now.
Because he's got to know it's a better matchup with the Mavericks, too.
But how much effort do you put into trying to make that happen? So, by the way, they get the Timberwolves tomorrow night. And remember when Alex Rodriguez and tech entrepreneur Mark Laurie were going to buy the Timberwolves? Well, guess what? their 30-day exclusive negotiating window to buy the T-Wolves, gone. Yeah. So now it's going to be a free-for-all on who's going to own the T-Wolves. All right, so yeah, the Nuggets winning last night, securing a first-round home playoff series. The Rockies, they played last night.
I like how you did that. Yeah. Nuggets won last night. Rockies played last night.
Didn't go all that great last night. They lose 8-1 to the Padres.
Had a couple try-hard plays.
Yeah, sure.
Dive and chuck the ball around and just not going anywhere.
Manny Machado killed them last night. Drove in 5. Homer, triple last night. That's all he did last night. So Antonio Sensatella, he was back, coming off the injured list. Went to 5 innings, gave up 7 hits, 4 runs, 4 strikeouts, gave up a couple of walks, gave up the Machado bomb last night. And look, it was a 2-1 game going into the top of the 6th inning with the Padres in the lead. And then that's when things went all sideways, where the Padres score 6 runs in that inning. And after the game, Bud Black talking about the performance from Antonio Sensatella in the loss to the Padres.
You know, overall, I thought it was a positive. You know, his stuff was fine. You know, missed with a couple sliders down the way, but they had good action. I thought the changeup came into play, which is something we're stressing with Antonio to get that into his game. Got some outs with it today. Used it, a handful of times, maybe a little bit more. But overall, through 5 innings, it was 2-1. Hung the breaking ball to Machado. He'd like to have that one back.
No kidding.
But, you know, it's good to have him back. His arm felt good. His leg felt fine. So, we didn't help him much in the sixth, but he kept us in the game through 5 innings.
You can have the ball back. It's just going to have a big old black mark on the side of it.
Exactly.
That was a freaking rocket. But, you know, through 5 innings, he was fine. I mean, he struggled a little bit in the fifth. You could see the wheels kind of starting to wiggle around a little bit because, I mean, that was the Machado dinger in the fourth. You could see it kind of wiggle because he ended up loading the bases, got out of it. He got, the Kim character guy to strike out. That ended the inning, but then he came out, Cronenworth reached, and then Manny Machado just with an absolute rocket in the fifth. But the first 3 innings, first time through the order, he was fine. He looked good. It was fairly sharp.
But then Kenley comes on, 2/3 of an inning, gives up 4 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Bowden comes on and actually did pretty well. He gave a couple of hits, but he also had a couple of strikeouts. Galbraith, Almonte, Yancey came in to close it out. But by that time, it was a 8-1 game, and the Rockies were out of reach in that one. So it'll be Rockies and Padres. They'll play a doubleheader today since it got rained out on Monday. We'll have the first game of the doubleheader today. Yu Darvish, who's been San Diego's best pitcher so far.
Yeah.
He's been really good. He has not allowed a hit to the last 75 batters who have reached 2 strikes against him. He's been that good. He's 3-1 right now, the 2.27 ERA. John Gray, who's been outstanding for the Rockies. He's been their best starting pitcher. 4-2 record, 3.12 ERA. He's 4-0 at Coors Field so far this season. So we'll hope that the magic continues for John Gray. Pregame for that one at 12:30 today. And then the second game tonight is Blake Snell and Austin Gomber. But tonight on the team, we'll have the Avalanche taking on the LA Kings. It's important. It's a crucial 2 games for the Avalanche because they win tonight against the Kings. A win tomorrow night, they win the President's Trophy and they have home ice advantage throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes.
So it's a big one tonight. We'll have it 6:30 right here on the Team Sports Network. Rockies at 12:30, Avs at 6:30 tonight.
Another doubleheader of sorts on the team. We're getting into that season.
You got
lots
it.
Lots of games in a little bit of time.
All right. Let's hop on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. We got Sam from Fruita. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jim Davis. How about you?
I'm doing well today. Sam, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, at least they didn't get shut out last night.
Got that going
for
them.
That.
Got
yeah,
that going.
Boy, that's
yeah.
certainly a step in the right direction.
Sure.
Of course, I guess there's more of a stumble in the right direction. But
probably closer to that, yes.
Right direction nonetheless.
Yes.
You know, if you look at the current lightning pace that the Rockies are on, they could lose 106 games this year.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks. Thanks for calling in and being positive today. Thanks for putting
I'm pretty positive we're going to hit 100.
Oh, thank you, Sam, for that. I think they could lose 106. Sure they could do that.
Yeah, maybe 110 if they really try hard.
Sam, at least you're killing me today, Samuel. You're killing me. You there, Sam?
Did we lose Sam?
I think we lost Sam.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Sam.
All right, Sam. Sorry about that. Uh-oh. We lost him.
Apparently we did.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Sam.
It's not the only thing we've lost in Fruita here the last few days. It's our poor boy, Cake.
Phone has a GPS, son. I'm just saying. It can tell you where to go.
Check the map. How long did it take you? About an hour.
Yeah.
To check your map?
Yeah, we did a little gathering the other night, and Cake, not utilizing the technology at his disposal, and he's a millennial.
Right. He's on his phone a lot.
And he got lost.
The best part is, it's not that he got lost in Fruita, because that can happen, right?
But that he didn't have to go
between where he was at downtown 12th and Orchard.
Yeah, downtown Junction.
Where he lives, downtown Grand Junction, he got lost in Fruita. He's like, I got lost in Fruita.
And he only had to go out to the Redlands. That's all he had to do.
I'm like, how? He's like, well, I was driving home from doing CMU's Lacrosse PA, and I got lost in Fruita. I'm like, you live downtown. How did you end up in Fruita?
How'd you get from Maverick Field to all the way out in Fruita?
Yeah, how'd you get lost in the City Market parking lot in Fruita from a mile from your house when that's all the farther you were? You were a mile from home. Got lost in the Redlands. Got lost in Fruita. Poor kid.
All right, it's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
He's our very own Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, no doubt about it. Where is Cake?
Where in the world is Tired Francis? Anyway, sound check is what we're doing right now. Former CU Buffalo Joel Klatt once played minor league baseball. He was in the Padres organization. And he was on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week talking not about pro or college football, but about his time spent with one of the all-time great leadoff hitters.
The Padres ink a minor league deal with Ricky Henderson. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. So where does Ricky go? He goes to the AAA squad. Where does Ricky hit? Leadoff. So there I am, second behind Ricky Henderson. And then everything that everyone's ever said about Ricky starts coming true right before my eyes. He's referring to himself in the third person, right to my face, like looking at me and being like, Ricky, get on. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is incredible, you know. So we'd be in, you know, getting ready for our at-bat, and he would always, you know, he would hit the donut off of his bat, just like you've seen. And then he would start tapping his toes and, like, doing that almost like the little shuffle towards the plate. And then he would turn to me, and he would look me in the eyes. And here I am, you know, this young guy, and he would just be like, two or three, and then keep walking. And I was like, what in the – like, what is he talking about? I have no idea. And I was just like, well, you know, I just want to impress him. So I'm like, man, I'm a power hitter. I just want to hit jacks, like just swing as hard as you can, Joel. Like, you know, like hit a home run so he's got to wait for you at home plate so I can give him a bash brother. Like, that's what I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to bash brother with Ricky Henderson at home plate. So I'm going up there, and I am swinging out of my shoes on every pitch. And he keeps telling me this number before every at-bat. So finally, I go up to the skipper, Jeff Gardner, and I'm like, Skip, why in the world does Ricky keep telling me a number? And he looks at me, and he puts his arm around me. And I'm 3 days into this, guys. I've taken now, you know, 20 at-bats behind Ricky. And he's like, Rook, that's how many pitches he expects you to take so he can steal second.
This guy, he's just hacking. Joel Klatt is just swinging from his sneakers.
And all Ricky, he's like, take a couple pitches, man.
Yeah. Two.
Two.
Ricky going walk. Ricky gets on.
That's a great story. All right, 7:48. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more. Question today brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill. The schedule comes out tonight for the Broncos versus the NFL teams. Which out-of-division game are you looking the most forward to? Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Hit us up today, 970-242-1340.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Good morning, 7:51. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. NFL schedule release tonight. I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of the drama taken out of it because you know who they're going to be playing, who the Broncos will be playing. But our question today is, of the out-of-division games, which one are you looking the most forward to? Got one from Dom this morning. Good morning, Dom, on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm looking forward to seeing the Broncos-Lions with the new QB1. Who do you mean there, Dom? Who are you talking about, Dom? Who's that? Jared Goff? New QB1 in Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Jared Goff? Or could it be that guy that has been in that same division with the Lions for a long, long time that might be in a Broncos uniform? On Aaron Rodgers. Did you see the picture they had the other day of Rodgers in a Broncos uni that somebody had put together Photoshop?
He still had bitter beer face, though, which is weird.
but he does, though. He just...
They couldn't Photoshop the picture with a smile on his face onto the Broncos
uniform. He smiles
uniform.
Occasionally. Come on. Now, here's where I begin my... I start to defend him
start
a lot.
Start to defend Aaron Rodgers.
Because he might end up being on my football team. Come on. He's just a competitor. That's just a look. That's not a bitter beer face. No. No, that's not like he just drank a Natty Light or something like that.
Aaron
no.
Rodgers'
no.
beer face is, oh, Miller, huh?
That.
Okay.
That is the face of a stone-cold killer competitor, my friend. It's nothing to do with bitter beer face.
That is the face of somebody that is incredibly petulant but really good at football.
And man, I want him on my football team so bad. So bad. All right. But one thing I want to mention before we take a break, and coming up next hour, we'll have Altitude Day, Connor McGahee and Chris Dempsey. That, boy, what a big day yesterday for high school pitchers here locally. Mentioned some of these numbers from yesterday. You had Luke Brown. Remember Luke playing on my grandson's Little League team a long time ago over at Grand Mesa. Really good player then. A really good player. He had a one-hitter through 6 1/3 last night for Central. Shut out Grand Junction 8-0. Jacob Weaver. All he had was 10 punch-outs. And threw a complete game against a good Montrose baseball team. A baseball team that was preseason number 7 in 4A, but got the complete game shut out there. And then for Palisade, how about Cooper Nankervicius with a 5-inning perfect game yesterday against Eagle Valley? Some pretty amazing performances on the bump in high school baseball yesterday here locally.
Yeah, a couple of really good performances for sure.
And I'll tell you what, yesterday with all the folks came down from Montrose, and they're out there for Fertile Monument. Mm-hmm. It felt normal. It felt 2019.
Yeah.
It felt absolutely normal, which was so good. So good. By the way, check out the Davis and Beetle podcast, because I talked with Montrose coach Landon Wareham yesterday, guy that played with Beetleman at Mesa. And
has fully recovered since.
Interesting story about Landon Wareham on there. I don't know if Landon wants me to tell the story publicly, but it's a really good story. Check out the podcast at our website, theteam1340.com.